It's funny that we will have this background here.
Yeah. Well, they obviously knew that you were a refined young woman, and they wanted to put you up somewhere opposite where you could hear live classical music.
So it's the first time that they're playing live classical music here. Yeah.
Would you like to introduce yourself first?
Yeah, I'm Rosalind.
Great, that's a great introduction.
Yeah.
Thanks for talking to us today. So, well, tell me what you're busy with.
Yeah. At the moment I'm in New York, which is very exciting. I'm having a residency here at Movement Research, where I'm preparing a piece that I will start to work with in December.
Mm-hmm.
For four dancers. So I'm preparing that, but I'm also doing research on other interests that I have in relation to my work, which one is writing, and another one is the history of movement research. And the third branch of being here is just looking at art and the scene and mainly what people are engaging in and how they are working with these questions and how they are transformed into art. So these are bigger interests that are not super directed, but directed through my eye and what I'm what I'm interested in relation to my work.
Mm.
Yeah.
How do you make the difference between bigger interests and directed interests?
Yeah, I mean, directed interest is now the research or preparation that I'm doing for this piece, which is explicitly preparing exercises and trying things out that I will work and talk with the people that are participating in the piece. And then broader interests are writing. I will do that through this production, but I will also do that through my next productions, and it's something that is continuously going on. Therefore I'm thinking about it as something that is maybe bigger than just for one production.
What language do you write in?
It's different. I have been... sometimes I write in Swedish, but actually mainly in English.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Often, yeah.
Because you practice that more in this context?
Because the scene is...
Were you faster at typing English?
No, definitely not. But maybe because the work so many times are on English.
And the readers, maybe. Yeah.
And readers, and the ones that I want to read it can't read in Swedish. So therefore.
What do you think the world would be like if everyone did speak Swedish?
I don't know. I think I wonder sometimes what my writing would be like if I was investing more in my mother tongue.
Uh-huh.
That it's... sometimes I'm actually doing that, to actually get to the point of what do I actually want to say. So I write it first in Swedish, and then I can translate it into English.
Okay.
Just to not only use the words that I know in English, which would make it sometimes more complicated and sometimes unspecific. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's, yeah.
Have you been inspired by any stuff since you've been here?
Yeah.
The scene or the people or how people engage with?
I mean, yeah, I feel very intrigued, I must say, being here. Mm. It's so, mainly the amount of differences that are walking around on the street.
Yeah, right, in the one space.
In
coexisting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. The extremes in all kind of directions are refreshing, I would say. So that, the life and the temple is doing something good to me at the moment.
Except stealing from sleep.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Mm.
Yeah, losing my voice.
From just being loud or from dancing and partying?
I think from have to be quite loud speaking in this country. It's so loud.
I feel like there's an idea that Australians speak loudly,
yeah,
but Americans completely eclipse
I
went to the West Indies Festival the first couple of days that I was here, and that was above and beyond what I was prepared for. Just huge semi-trailers with sound systems on it, and like all these people on their bicycles with speakers blaring out music.
Yeah.
They're not listening to their sound for them. They like form a bubble of sound that passes through everybody that they co-act with. I want to talk about something that you said before we started recording about just choosing the interests. Choosing the thing that interests you and then not doing the other things.
Yeah.
And when that happened and how that happened and what's happened since then, or how you know that you are doing that or that you're doing it well.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't think it's about doing something well or bad. It's more this thing of, carefully... listen to what am I actually interested in and relating that to myself and see what kind of see how that is developing when starting to work on something, whatever that is. I think that that started after being part of the scene for a little while and after being in Vienna and seeing so many ways of doing contemporary dance and so much that I don't really enjoy maybe as much, or I'm not agreeing
or identify with.
But that I absolutely think should be part of the scene somehow, or that it's like I that it's okay, this, even though we are contemporary dance is such a small field, it still has a variety of expressions and methods of working, and realizing that I'm just a thin little, I have a thin interest within this very small field. So it was more in like, this is not about success, this interest. It's not about, it's not about becoming famous. It's about actually following that and see what that will do. What kind of work am I producing when I'm trying to be close to what I'm intrigued by? And then what comes out might be embarrassing and terrible and no one would like it, but at least it's something that that has to do with me somehow, or that is my reflection upon something in relation to then almost always bigger things like body or like how we are looking, or I mean, in my work I have a very huge interest in the body, where I'm trying to think how one can form body differently through training and practices, and what that does to how one reads and sees the body or how one is interacting with the body. So thinking about that one constantly are formed by the structures and society that we are living in, and then forming new, smaller versions of that in order to challenge the eye, the way of looking at body and the understanding of body and what that could do, and how one can be with it.
Do you feel like you've worked anything out? Like you've come to any conclusions or realizations about all of these questions?
No, it's more like a continuous interest that is expanding. So like trying something, creating a practice, doing that, and then it turns out to become a work, and then continuing in another direction and trying that. So it's I just see that this is a thread in my work, that it continues to come back even though it has different it starts from different points.
And how do you get yourself close to your interests? Like is it getting yourself close to the other body practitioners that are also aligned with that interest, or is it exposing yourself to lifestyle experiences or adventures? Or
No, I think it has to do with like starting working. I had many ideas about what it is to be a maker or what it is to be a dancer, and maybe who I am within that field. And then it is coming to this point was more stopping thinking about my identity within the field. So I'm rather not thinking about who I am in this field. I'm thinking about what I'm interested in, and that's it. And then I'm therefore I'm close to the word of interest, but how I'm coming to that, I'm not really sure. It's like through reading and through meeting and seeing pieces, things, people, traveling, and then figuring out, putting things together somehow.
There's something that's like like you know that something is too hot by when you touch it. Like you know the sensation that that is, and it's maybe like excitement is the sensation of being close to your interest, or like that's the thermometer that tells you
whether
you're getting warmer
or colder. Exactly.
What are the things that you read?
That I'm reading?
That feel like are exciting or are influential? Or
at the moment, I'm reading a little different things at the moment. I'm having
a pile
of books that I'm reading, but at the moment, Calvino, Italo Calvino.
Are these all in English, these books?
No, they're not. It's German and English and Swedish. So this I'm reading, this is pure inspiration, Calvino.
Pure inspiration.
That's pure inspiration. He has a beautiful language. It's very nice. But then for one project I'm reading Geschichte unter der Haut. It's like about the body and how one have been understanding body through medicine and through the medical history. And
Western
how
Western medicine, like
Western medicine, and how doctors have been talking about body, how one is
segmenting it,
through actually even before one started with the
slicing and surgery.
So like from folk medicine and rituals to like this scholar medicine, or how are you calling it in English, or school medicine, you are saying in Swedish.
That makes sense. But like white coats, chemicals, scalpels, things like this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so it's that's a book for a project that I will do with Sandra and Stina, and the same is this Susan Sontag illness as metaphor, and AIDS and its metaphors, which is related to like how one is the body as something that will rotten and decay, and it will die out. Each body is going towards death, but it's something that we are not talking about really, and not caring for. It's something that you try to hold away from life, like life should be the functional body. And as fast as it's not functioning and are efficient and able to be part of the society that is down on the street, then you're kind of placed outside of society. You're placed in a hospital, or you're placed in some sort of department where you could be treated specially, but you're these, when I'm functioning as I'm should, I don't see these other people that are not functioning. So kind of non-function is not part of life, even though that is such a big part of life. So a question about the function of body and why we are not wanting to have that dark body, because a body that is not functioning are looked upon as quite dark, and the body that is functioning is light. It's, you don't even see it, you're not thinking about a body that is functioning somehow. So it's that's quite interesting.
Maybe, I wonder if that can be related to dance, and that you're not thinking about dance that is functioning, but you're only thinking about dance that is not functioning.
But yeah, exactly. What would that?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. It's just you gave me the idea by how you're speaking.
Yeah.
But I, there are a lot of dance practices and a lot of people who dance who are not thinking about dance. It's just all functioning.
Mm-hmm.
How it is functioning, how it's designated as being functioning, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's we can like relegate into this dichotomy that it's not being thought about, therefore it is functioning.
Mm.
And it is being thought about, say, dance practices that are about inquisition and asking questions and unearthing something, then is that perhaps just by being thought about, is it decreed as non-functioning dance?
Mm-hmm.
I don't
know. Yeah, yeah.
I wonder.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. Often also in training, you're trying to like find a very efficient body or the efficient way of moving, which is absolutely intriguing too. And then it's also about a certain function, but that's like, that's in relation to trainings. Here, I think in this project, we're also thinking about, the bodies that are certain in, or that that is not as included.
So talk a little bit more about this project specifically that you're in New York to do.
That I'm doing in New York, exactly, because that project about the body in that way, like the body building project, are we calling it? This am I not working on here? Yeah, the project that I'm preparing here is called Jump With Me. It's a piece that I will do for four dancers.
Mm-hmm.
And they will jump constantly and only. And what I'm doing at the moment, I'm trying to develop a practice that is about intensities in jumping rather than like spectacular jumps. So it's not about this huge jumpings that one can recognize from ballet and other techniques, but the jumping of like jumping up and being in the air and landing, and then the intensity there. So like, how are you jumping up? How long are you in there? How are you landing? When are you landing? And so also like, how are you landing with the body in the space? In what directions? Towards whom?
Does it stop becoming a jump if they do something in the air? Like, it's a jump until it's a split leap, or it's a jump until it's a jeté, or it's a jump until it's a backflip. Like, if somebody does a backflip, is it still a jump?
Yeah.
But you're not working with
backflips. But at the moment, we will not work with backflips at all. I mean, it's we're starting from quite a plain body, like a body that is mainly jumping up and down, and the arms are hanging down, and it's about rather the intensity in the jump more than
it's always jumping from the feet. Because there's a move in breakdancing where you're on the hands and you're,
exactly.
you're in handstand and you're jumping in handstand.
Yeah, no, I have been thinking about it as mainly on the feet.
Yeah,
yeah, because what I'm trying to do with this is to find a way of communicating through jumping. And there I'm choosing jump because when you're jumping the everyday body, that one I've been practicing for so many years, is hard to practice because I'm not used to jump through life. So how am I communicating when I'm jumping? Then I can't do all these small gestures or how I'm reading you when, like now when we are sitting here, is I can't really do that reading when I'm jumping because these things are falling away because you need to focus on the jumping.
Mm.
So I'm interested in that concentration that you have to have when jumping, but also what is happening with the body. And then through focusing on completely other things when reading someone, I'm reading only in like, how are you jumping and what is that intensity? How is the relation coming through when the jumpers are having completely other things to hold on to as a way of communication? How is the audience looking at the jumpers and how are they seeing the relation? Yeah.
In Australia,
yeah.
a coat that you pull over yeah. your head is called a jumper.
Oh, yeah. You jump in it or it jumps onto
you? It jumps onto you, I don't know. But I recently watched a documentary on Felix, I don't know his last name, who did that skydive jump from the edge of space.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if that's the biggest jump, or maybe if you're going to deal with any of those jumps. If you're going to deal with like jumps from the edge of space.
Yeah.
Or like the way that people jumped on the moon.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah,
I'm only thinking about that in relationship because we went and saw a star. Spaceship.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. No, I think I will avoid representations of things, and because I'm rather interested in like presenting these relations and try to come away from a representation of relations.
Mm.
So then working with jumps that you maybe can recognize as something,
yeah.
I think that will make it just very hard.
Yeah, and I guess if you jump from a very high point to land on a low point, then you spend more time falling than you spend jumping, and so it's about the fall then, it's not about the jump.
Yeah, they are very close, of course, to each other, the falling and the jumping. I did a piece on falling.
And then is there like costume considerations because of the bounce of the outfits, or?
Yeah, we have been thinking about the costume. We are not so we're just starting. I mean, some ideas was like, since it is again about body, so maybe put things that look quite heavy, but they might not be so heavy, but the impression of like that there is a heavy body jumping, but it doesn't really look like, or make the jumps harder through like tightening up on the clothes over the butt or at different places, so the costume is affecting the jump in certain ways in order to even more affect how the body can be in the jump.
And how is New York helping you with this?
I mean, this is, it's great to just like relocate, to come to another place and think about my ideas. It makes me somehow then again, I'm not thinking so much about what people will think about it. I'm doing what I think I have to do in order to prepare this work. I mean, the time I'm having in the studio is 3 hours a day, 4 days a week.
Mm.
So it's not a huge amount of time. It's, most of the time is also like walking on the streets and going into galleries and looking at other things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Also, before we started recording, you're talking about, we had a long conversation about different shows, and you used the term about whether something did something to you, yeah. Or like you appreciated something but it didn't do something to you.
Mm.
And I wonder what does do something to you, or like what is that thing that it is doing when you see something that does something to you?
Oh, that's so different, of course, because it depends on like when I see it and what I have been seeing before, right? So the context of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And how available I am right now looking at something. But I don't know, I think like maybe what can like what is coming together is when I it's hard to describe, but it might be when, how to find the right words for this. It's when I feel that someone can be so like, picky with what one find great or what one really are concerned with, and dragging that out to its maximum somehow, even though that might be tiny, and that tininess is the maximum. It might be like 5 minutes, or it's not about the length, or it's not about the size. It's more about I am interested in this color, and it should be placed here, or like, and so it's about the. Like a clearness and interest, maybe. And yeah, so it's hard to talk about when not having a concrete show,
mm.
like, but or exhibition or book.
Mm.
Many times when I can see, like, okay, there is a timing here. That is very close connected to the makers, or I can only do it in its timing, or I can only place it like this, or and one is stubborn about it, and maybe it's always like that, but it's I don't think so. Like making work myself, sometimes I know it should only be like this.
Mm.
This is the way I have to do this work, and other times it's not clear.
How do you know?
I think it has to do with like working and working and working and working, like it be like constantly, or to me it has to do with that. It's a practicing. So I'm engaged. If I'm now I'm interested in relation, and I'm approaching it through jumping, and my way of working with it, it's like training my body. It's jumping, but it's also reading, and it's on relations. It's also reading on body.
Mm.
Like I'm reading Sarah Ahmed. It's a phenomenology on whiteness, which is very inspiring to me. I'm reading Karen Barrett. I'm reading like lots of people that are speaking about body, but from a more theoretical point of view. It's an engagement with it, and then through that work,
mm.
I find a form, or I find a materiality.
Mm.
And then thinking about how I can make that visible, often it turns out to become a certain time. But yeah, I at the moment I only have the, my only strategy is to work. it's true. Yeah, I can't find another way.
There's no other strategy.
Yeah.
I'm pretty interested with all the reading and all the writing and then the dancing.
Yeah.
About how they come together so strongly, and about whether your need to dance or work in movement is out of a desire to make material what otherwise would just be a theoretical discourse. Or like all of the things, do you need to be dancing the things that you're dancing, or is it enough to read and write about them? Like, I'm looking for the imperatives here of this triangle of reading and writing and dancing.
Yeah, I think me there are no like direct translation between writing, reading and dancing, training, composing, and then all of that turns into choreography to me. So and I'm also trying to not direct translate. That would never work for me. No. So
but I guess my question is why the dancing?
Oh, it's
like, what is it that the other insightful and inspirational, engaging discourses that are in written or spoken word?
Yeah.
Where are they stopping and dance is taking over, like taking on further?
Yeah.
Or maybe is it just a need to feel the thing and experience it rather than think about it or talk about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think to me, it's not the one thing that is motivating the other. I mean, I'm working with dance and I'm working with choreography.
Yeah.
So that's my profession, and that's where I'm feeling I'm good at that. That's what I'm good at. Like, it's my work.
That's enough of an answer.
Yeah, no, but then it's also not this kind of writing, reading, and then it becomes the dance. It's I'm dancing, I'm training, I'm reading, I'm dancing, I'm composing, and towards the end it becomes a choreography. So it is not that progression, and everything turns out to become a dance. It's I'm living, and then I'm working, and. Making a choreography, to me, it has so many layers somehow.
So many things to consider.
Yeah, I mean, it's in order to find how to move or what to focus in the movement. Many times I have this. It stands, of course, in relation to what I have been reading or seeing and how I see that someone is moving in this context and what makes them move like that. And then reading about history in relation to, for example, here I'm reading about room, like how we are relating to room and what room or architecture are doing to the body and what body is doing to architecture and what is forming what, and of course that becomes interesting then in like where do you place your work, and it's how do I work with scenography that might form the room, or
how do you work with scenography and aesthetics, like how do you consider the aesthetics that are gonna end up on stage?
I mean, I can maybe talk concretely about the last piece that I did. I haven't there I didn't work with scenography, and I have mainly been working with like a costume, but I have been touching on scenography many times, and I might come there. It's a money question. I would say last time it was I was working with it was with this piece Meat that I did, and then it was again a question of body, and then I was making up a practice where the dancer was going through a fictional air system that she was touching, and that was touching her. So she went through several air layers that consisted of different things like small particles or big bubbles or hail or and they had all very like cleared out like materiality and resistance and temperature that we were talking about. I was painting in order to make them visible in another way.
Like with watercolors or something?
Watercolors and but also with dry colors. Okay. And I was having a practice of touching her in order to make them like sensorial, haptic. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So in many ways, we tried to make these air layers imaginable.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was moving in them, and through her movements in them, I saw what I kind of have to add and how to develop that practice. And so we were kind of developing it back and forth through me talking, painting, touching, and through her doing and talking about her experiences. And so in that work, it turned out to become like a body that we named Meat, because it became like a character. And then I was interested in Meat. To me, I did not on purpose name the character, or I didn't give it a sex. So having that option open of like, what is it? We are not really sure. It's not that it doesn't necessarily not have one, but we kind of have to figure out through practicing and what does this body feel like in the different air layers that it's going through. So then in relation to costume, we were having like a tight, quite dark costume under, like a body and like biking pants. And then we had the big costume that was like standing almost outside of her body, like a short and a t-shirt that was made of plastic and silk, a combination. So it was quite big, and then in some light you only saw that bigger body. And in other lights you only saw the dark body under, because it was a see-through thing. And sometimes you saw both. So the changing of body in relation to the context that you are in, and in relation to how you're relating to the context that you are in. So I find I'm interested in how, like, yeah, how the clothing or how material can influence the movement that you're doing, or influence how the audience are looking at the body in relation to what the costume are doing to the body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how much of that is for the performer and how much of that is for the audience?
Oh, it's for that in this context was very much for the audience.
Okay. Yeah.
But of course, like all these kind of practicalities of like having a costume that one can sweat in, having a costume that are like making Anna Marajki in this case able to move, not hurt herself. All these kind of things are, of course, like as a very high considered value when finding a costume. But how it looks was in this case for the audience mainly.
Mm.
Yeah.
I often feel in Australia, some of the dance institutions at the moment are starting to implement uniforms,
mm-hmm,
that the contemporary dancers need to wear that are skin tight,
mm-hmm,
whereas you used to be able to wear workout clothes or sweat clothes that were quite loose for contemporary,
mm-hmm,
and then you would have to wear tight clothes for ballet, and now they're just making it across the board. And I feel really lucky that I missed that, because I don't feel like I can dance, that I can access the movement that I'm trying to access in some contemporary techniques,
mm-hmm,
if my fabrics are skin tight.
Mm.
I don't know, it seems like the people implementing the rules are not considering what the dancer needs.
Yeah, yeah.
To be able to access.
Yeah, that. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that feels
yeah, the way you feel
old,
is very
school or searching for having these tight tights, you see, of course, something, but it's also, of course, it does something in relation to
and of course,
how you're moving.
Most of the time that we read bodies, we're reading bodies in clothing. Mm. And so the audience can read a body that is in clothing and can read movement.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I feel like it's more about a discipline thing than an actual helping to find the dance.
Yeah.
I have a pretty broad question for you.
Mm.
And that is just, what is your biggest hope? And that can be for like the efforts that you're putting into all of this work, or it can be for the world, or it can be very specific.
That's a huge question. Maybe it's huge.
Well, like what are you working towards with all, because it takes a lot of effort to relocate and reconsider yourself all the time. And that's like just a process of working so that you can reconsider all of your material and your process and your actions.
Mm.
But hopefully it's like it's towards something.
Yeah, of course it takes a lot of effort, but I would say that it takes as much effort standing, like not doing the work. So at the moment I feel very like lucky having the opportunity to be able to focus in the way that I'm focusing, and I think as long as I'm interested and figure things out, I'm good with that. I can't really think I'm not so interested in thinking about where it all like will go, because it's I'm getting bored of that. I have realized I will anyhow not know. So I can keep on be interested, and if I'm interested in this book today and it makes me happy and I know what I would want to do tomorrow, that's great somehow. and I enjoy that development.
Well, I guess we could finish. That feels like it's been pretty interesting. Unless you have any insights, or wisdoms, or because the last time we hung out was 2010.
Yeah.
And it's been 5 years since then.
That's true.
I feel like a lot has happened.
Yeah, sure it has. I mean that year was really took me on a new track. Dance Webben, and the year that followed. I don't know. Feels like everything becomes like more particular. It's not, then. but it's actually the same that I was saying before, like staying quite. Cool, then I'm following that. Basta.